on Fridays. Excuse me. We tend to head to the bright side of the road.
Always.
Vanda Man Morrison takes us there. This is a great song, by the way.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to give Kim a little Van Morrison quiz right now. So the All Marine Radio head chef is with us, and he's seen Van Morrison fall off stages and all kinds of other shit. So Van Morrison, all right, he's from Northern Ireland.
Yes, he is. And he lives real close to a friend of mine.
No kidding.
Who I worked with in Switzerland and who also worked for me at the Blue Parrot in Port Townsend, Washington.
Yeah. He lives close to him now?
Right now, as we speak.
Where's that?
Run, sees him once in a while. It's he told me it's way up northern Ireland.
Okay.
Very, very... Right on the water.
I wondered if it was in the States or something like that. So, the okay. So let's talk about his career. Okay. Now, do you remember the first Van Morrison's first major hit in the United States?
Brown Eyed Girl.
I think you're wrong about that, bro.
No, Brown Eyed Girl.
Okay. So hold on. At 17, Morrison toured Europe for the first time with a group called the Monos.
Yes.
Right? It was an Irish show band. Morrison playing saxophone, guitar, and harp.
Yes.
Played backup duty on the bass and played drums. Holy shit. And
yeah, he's talented.
And much like the Beatles, right, playing in Germany, they played a lot of American basses and clubs. In Scotland, England, and Germany, and that was the way a lot of bands got started. Upon returning to Belfast in November of 1963, the group disbanded. Morrison connected with Gordy Sproul again and played with him in a Manhattan show band along with another guitarist by the name of Herbie Armstrong. All right, and they had a band called Them. Now, let's see.
Yes. Oh, Gloria.
Gloria, right? So.
G-O-L-A, Gloria. Yeah, baby. Yeah, that was.
That was his garage rock band. And that was his first, that was Van Morrison's first major hit, right? The first one I remember is Domino.
Domino, that came a few years.
Let's see. Start of his solo career with Brown Eyed Girl in 1967. That's probably the song.
That's the song I saw him. But I remember Gloria and Them. Before that. That's right.
The Brown Eyed Girl. No, he's Van Morrison, man. He plays great music. Great music. So
and you know that time I saw him, he was opening up for the band.
Whoa.
And it was in the Boston Symphony Hall. And I think it was 1969. And he got about halfway through his third song, he fell off the stage into the orchestra pit. He was so drunk. He was just fucked up. And I'm thinking, holy mackerel. No, man, don't do it. You know, because Janis was dying, Jimmy, you know, Otis Redding had died in a plane crash. And
Otis Redding, wow.
Yeah. Dock of the Bay.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
The Bay, yeah. Janis Joplin once said to me, we met her at Lake Tahoe, and we snuck backstage and asked her to go water skiing the next day. And she comes, calls up, says, yeah. We said, come on over. So the whole band comes over, and we go back as her guests that night. And then afterwards, we got kicked out of Frank Sinatra's casino on the North Shore Lake Tahoe.
That's where I'm headed.
Janis had the shortest hair of the group in the group. And then they came back to our place, and they wouldn't let them back in their hotel. So we were staying at the Bohannon's in the guest cottage, which was two stories, had a kitchen in each floor, and slept eight on each floor.
Whoa.
And the main house, we weren't allowed
who was
in.
Paying? Hey, who was paying for all this?
Oh, we all paid ourselves. Nobody was paying for it. What do you mean paying for it? We don't. I mean, Linda was the granddaughter of the owner.
Oh.
We were staying in the guest house.
For free.
We did every August for free. Every August for 2 weeks.
Oh.
And they had a big Kris Kraft. But anyway, Janis was sitting around sitting around a campfire one night and, chatting and smoking and drinking and carrying on. And, she says, we started talking about Otis Redding. And, she said, oh man, that my only regret is that I never got to ball Otis Redding. I thought, oh man, that was funny. And we all started laughing. But, he was great. But anyway, back to Van. And when he fell off the stage, then the band came on and played for 3 hours or so, and it was tremendous. And I was so pumped to see Van Morrison, and I thought, oh my God, he's going to drink himself to death or get involved in drugs. And he is shot out on the other side. Today, he is the best jazz singer on the planet, and he's white. And I'm telling you, he like you said, he plays every single instrument.
I didn't know that.
He plays all the instruments. I'm pretty sure you'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure he's done an album or so, maybe two,
where he's played everything
with him doing all the music.
Wow.
Period. Writing, producing, playing. And putting it all together. I mean, he's really something. And if you ever get a chance to see him.
Did you ever see him again?
I did not see him again. But I was in Switzerland and this guy was writing a book about Van Morrison and he happened to be staying at the hotel we were working in. And we started talking about that and about Van Morrison, and he said, yeah, he doesn't do that stuff anymore. He's, you know, he still has a drink now and then, but he's a serious musician. And but I never got to see him, but I sure would in a heartbeat. My sister saw him just recently with her daughter. In New Orleans at the jazz festival, Van Morrison was playing there. And if you ever get a chance, do it. Every one of you out there, you'll come away just very high without touching a drop of anything.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. No, you know, I would love to go see him because, you know, you go see those guys now. And for however long they're on,
yes.
I went and saw Crosby, Stills, and Nash at the Greek. And
did you?
Oh, yeah, this was a couple of years ago. And all they do for almost 3 hours is play, like, their greatest hits. And they have so many of them. I mean, the same thing happened to me. I went and saw, I'd never seen Elton John. I have friends who love Elton John, and I was told, hey man, go, when, if you get a chance, go see him. So I was actually, I'd come home from Afghanistan, and I was out here still, and a buddy of Kim and mine who ran the arena, his name's Chris Semrau, he heard that I was back in town for a few days, so he sent me a text. He goes, hey man, I heard you're in town. Would you like to come see Elton John? I said, I'd love to. So he left me tickets, and Catherine and Colleen and I, this arena that seats about 11,000 people was on the University of North Dakota. It was two blocks from my house. So we walked to the concert.
I was at that concert.
We walked to the concert, and Elton John, I don't know, for, you know, two-plus hours, I mean, he just rips it. Song after song. And, I mean, they've been in this business for so long, and they've been so good for so long, and you sometimes forget all the great music they've made, and they just start bombing out. And it's just, it's a wonderful night when you go see these kind of legacy act, because they just have so much great music, you know, that they can't play it, you know, they can't play it all. And so,
No, they just, I mean, they could play it if they had about 10 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And then they want to play their new stuff, because they're artists, right? They want to play their new stuff. And you're like, get that new shit out of here, man! Give me the old stuff! And they're like, piss off, man. I've been playing that shit for 30 years. And, I mean, I remember reading Mick Jagger talking about singing Satisfaction. And he said, look, I went through a period of my life, I hated that song. I hated that song. Because, I mean, everybody wanted to hear it. You know?
Yeah.
And so, anyway.
Can't get no.
Right. Yeah. And he said, let me tell you, he said, well, I don't know if it was Keith Richards. Keith Richards play the bass or guitar? Play the bass.
No, he plays lead guitar.
When that first set of chords, right? Right? I mean, there is no mistaking that song. It's like Kansas is Dust in the Wind. To me, Kansas is Dust in the Wind and Satisfaction are two of the most, if you go play Name That Tune and you can't name one of those, listen to this. Hold on, not that. Listen to this. How distinct is this? All right, you need like how many, like one note. I could name that song in a half of a note. And then Dust in the Wind, the other one, is the other one to me that is so unique as the way it starts.
Yes.
Boom. Like, that would be Dust in the Wind by Kansas. Bing, bing, bing. Yep. Mac, you're right. You win. Yes.
$1 million.
Exactly. Late. I'm out. The all right. 4th of July is coming up. We should talk about food.
You got any questions?
Hold on. I've got a couple. What do you think is the best concert you've ever been to in your life?
Oh, jeez.
You've been to a bunch. So give me one concert that you could say whether it was where you were as a human being and the way the music hit you, the best concert you've ever been to in your life.
I'd have to say it was at Winterland in San Francisco. And
who was it?
The first group was Steppenwolf. And then came Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah.
And then came Big Brother and the Holding Company.
Just for everybody out there, Jefferson Airplane was what it used to be called before it became Jefferson Starship.
Yeah. And Grace Slick was the lead singer.
Yes, she was.
And then Janis came on with Big Brother and the Holding Company. And then the fourth act was the Grateful Dead. And
wow. How long was the concert?
It started at 9 p.m.
It went till 5 in the morning.
and went till almost 3 o'clock. after 2 at night. They were supposed to close at 2, but the Dead just kept playing. And it was their second set. Every what? Band what? Played 2 sets.
Things you might not see ever again.
Yes. And also, that concert, it was a benefit for the San Francisco Mime Troupe, put on by Bill Graham, who was impresario par excellence.
Yeah, Bill Graham.
In San Francisco.
Yep.
And the ticket price, are you ready?
$2.
$3.50.
That's hilarious.
$3.50 to get in there. And then Bill Graham, he'd come on. He'd be running around with microphone cords around his neck and Levi's 501s and a gray sweatshirt. Man, that was his uniform.
The best concert I've ever seen was one, the Springsteen concert that you and I went to. I've been a fan of his for so long.
Yeah.
And Kim has a buddy whose kid was working for Niels Lofgren as his kind of guitar dude. And So Kim got us tickets, like standing room only, right? Tickets right in front of the stage. Like Springsteen's like 8 feet from us and like 6 feet of it is vertical. And it was, after September 11th, if I can't remember what year it was, but it was his Rising tour. And the music on that was just phenomenal, and he played the rest of it, and it was awesome. Probably the best concert I've been to, the one I've enjoyed.
I just absolutely loved that concert, and folks, my friend's son, Boomer is his nickname. Got us these tickets, and he said, well, he didn't get us tickets. We had to buy the tickets. But he said, you come to the backstage door where they load up the trucks and everything.
Oh, that's right.
And I'll meet you there. So we come up, and they say, do you have tickets? Yeah, we're waiting for Boomer. And then they knock, they look in, and he comes out, and he says, come on in. So we walk in and then they've got all this food set out in different stations, veggie, fish, meat, a salad bar, I mean, all that stuff. And then we go up and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, who knows where these seats are going to be. And he walks us in, he says, watch out, don't trip on any of the cords. I said, where are we going? He says, right up in front of the stage. And he has, it had a rope, it was roped off from the stage to about, what, 50 feet out, would you say?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe not that. Maybe not in a semicircle.
Yeah,
in an arc. Right.
Yeah, an arc, yeah. And he says, there you go.
Have a good time.
You're on your own. Have a good time.
Like, oh.
God, that was a great concert.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And lots of room to dance, and we were just all over the place. It was tremendous.
I'm looking at a ticket I have here sitting in my studio. It's opening night in San Diego in 1974. My dad managed the Padres, right? Opening night. I don't know how this thing has survived all these years, but I have my ticket.
Wow.
I have my ticket stub. It was the night Ray Kroc got on the PA and started saying that this team, I won't accept this. This team couldn't beat a bunch of short order crooks. He was drunk. He gets on the PA in the stadium.
And
just as he's doing that, a streaker jumps out of the stands and starts running across the field naked. And he's yelling.
Oh, great.
He's yelling, get that man! Get that man! And the place is like, and I remember thinking, what the hell? So
what's going on?
Right. So it's a field level.
That's funny.
It's a field level seat. So it's the best seat you can get. How much do you think it was?
Oh, geez. I have no idea.
Not a lot. 1974, it was $4.
Yeah, that's about right.
So anyway. All right, let's talk
food. That is about right.
Let's talk food.
Love it.
All right. Mac, I heard Kim mention, write in if you have any questions. My question is more of a general question. How do you decide on what you're going to serve? I've done burgers and brats, which is pretty traditional. I'd kind of like to change things up and make it maybe a little bit lighter. Maybe fish and something else. Or maybe I could do all of it. Fish, I could do burgers, I could do brats. Does he have a recommendation of a fish that I can grill? That would taste very good seasoned. I could do catfish. I could do salmon, although salmon is pretty delicate. Does he have a recommendation? How do you decide for a theme in terms of, I mean, do you always serve the traditionals? I mean, that's what we talked about for Thanksgiving and stuff. Make sure you're solid on the traditionals and then add stuff. How do you scheme the menu for 4th of July?
Well, I figure out who's coming to our house.
Okay.
And kind of get a basic view, idea of what people eat, what they would like, and try to mix it up with something new, educate them in certain things. But I like the idea of cooking fish. But here's what I would do. I would go to the fish market, or if you know somebody who is a sport fisherman, and if you can get a whole fish, like I've done this before, I've taken a whole fish, like a salmon.
Yeah,
it could be anywhere I don't know, 6-8 pounds, depending on how many people you have, up to 15-16 pounds. Not too big a fish, but big enough. And then if the head's on, beautiful. If it's off, that's no problem either. But it'll be gutted, of course, and scaled. That means you take the scales off, and they can do that at the fish market. And then you stuff the inside with lemon, dill, garlic, any, your favorite herbs, okay? And you rub the cavity inside with a little olive oil before you do this, and then you rub the outside of the fish with a little olive oil. Then you salt and pepper the inside and outside, and then you put all your garlic and your lemon and herbs inside the cavity. And then you take aluminum foil and you double wrap it, okay? You get a big piece and then double it off, and then you wrap up the fish and you put it and you have it crimped all the way around, so it's on one side, usually the top of the fish, you crimp it all the way around and leave one side flush and make sure it's airtight, and then you throw it on the direct heat for about 2 minutes. Aside, and then put it off the direct heat for probably about 20 minutes. And you can flip it once. But you want to get everything cooking inside the fish. So, I mean, if it's like a 16-pound fish, you might want to do 4 minutes aside before you take it off the direct heat. I mean, yeah, the direct heat, and then put it on the indirect heat. That's real important. You don't leave it on long. And then you have, your open grill that hasn't been messed with a fish or anything, you know, so you don't have to clean it.
Right.
It's already hot.
Right.
And then I like to par cook the brats in beer.
You like to what cook? Par cook? What does that mean?
Par cook. Yeah. That means bring it up to boiling the beer and water mixture. Mm-hmm. Like a can of beer and usually a dark beer is what I use because it's a little stronger in flavor. And then water. And then you bring that to a boil. You drop your brats in. You let it come back up to a boil, and you cook for, I don't know, maybe 4 minutes. Okay, 4 or 5 minutes, depending on how many brats. And that's it. You take them off, and then you can rinse it and fill that container up with cold water and take it out by the grill. So when you want to cook your brats and you can throw them right on the grill, they're partially cooked and then you can brown them and get the nice grill marks and the skin crisping up, and don't burn them. Pay attention to them. But it's a lot faster and easier. And then when you get the grill marks and stuff, you set them off to the side. And because usually when you go to some place, they'll take the raw brats and throw them right on the grill. And very few people will stand over them and keep turning them and rotating them, which is what you have to do with raw brats. Because they'll get black on the outside and burnt. And, you know, they'll cook through, but the outside is not edible for me. I like the snap of something. I don't like the brat skins all busted up and all the juices pouring out of it. So that's what I do with my brats. And that's another big deal that everybody likes. Hot dogs, you just throw them on the indirect heat and they should cook just fine. They're already cooked anyway, most hot dogs. So you just want to get some color on the casing and maybe throw them on and get some grill marks real quick and then throw them off. And then, of course, hamburgers are hamburgers. But also, if you want to do something like ahead of time that you want to trick it out, get a pork loin from Sam's Club. Okay? And it's about 7 or 8 pounds. It's a long sucker. But it's all it is meat. And roast that in your oven. And you can do that a couple days before. And cook it. And then, when it's cool, you put it in the refrigerator overnight after it's cool. The next day, this is the day before 4th of July, you slice it up as thin as you can slice it if you don't have a meat slicer. Most of us don't. So you know our rule about sharp knives in the kitchen. They have to be sharp, otherwise you hurt yourself. And then mix it with your favorite barbecue sauce.
Yes.
And that day of 4th of July, you throw it in the oven, 300 degrees for about a half an hour. You just want to get all the barbecue sauce mixed in with the pork. And that is a real treat. And then you've got barbecued pork sandwiches that you can put in a chafing dish and people can help themselves to it. or not have a bun, just eat that with your whatever salad you have. I mean, you know, there's so many salads, pasta, macaroni, coleslaw, cucumber salad, which is our favorite, Mac, sliced tomatoes with red onions and mozzarella cheese. That's called a caprese salad. We like deviled eggs at 4th of July myself. My problem with deviled eggs is I have, you know, it's hard to keep any deviled eggs for the guests.
So you lay out, obviously it depends on how much you want to go to, but
yes.
The burgers and brats, easy, right? I mean,
yes.
You can go buy now because all the specialty cuts of everything at butcher shops are amazing. I mean, even just at a supermarket. I mean, you walk in there, you can buy burgers already made with jalapenos, cheddar cheese, American cheese, already in it, and you just put them on.
Yes.
Anyway, you can. So the key part of this, and in keeping with Kim's philosophy, is this. All right, the chef gets a party too. So the barbecue beef, you can do, you know, the pork tenderloin and in barbecue sauce, you can do that days before, right?
You can do that with the roast beef also, okay. Folks.
The burgers and brats, I mean, that's easy to do. So the key thing really is, you know, it's a day like Thanksgiving. It's a family day. It's a day that we celebrate the birth of our nation. But really, I mean, it's friends and families getting together to enjoy each other's company. And, you know, the cook's got to be able to do that too. So all the things Kim's talked about, you could do well ahead of time. And then the other things, the barbecue beef is great because you could have that out all day and people can graze on that, you know, before the big meal, you know. And then the other thing that, Kim, I want you to go over, the other option is, you know, kind of those pinwheel things. And you can do all kinds of cool stuff with those pinwheel things. So, Kim, talk about your basic, tortilla pinwheel. Oh. What do you like to put in it?
Okay. I'm going to give you a bunch of options. Everybody makes their own egg salad. They make their own tuna salad. They make their own chicken salad or ham salad. I love ham salad in these. And you can do smoked salmon. You can buy sliced smoked salmon. You can go to Sam's Club and buy a side of smoked salmon that's sliced. Now, you take a tortilla. Okay, we're going to start with the smoked salmon, the hardest one. You take a tortilla, 12-inch white flour tortilla, and they have different flavors. You can mix it up with those, too, depending on what is in the pinwheel. And then I take a cream cheese, a soft cream cheese. I spread it all over the tortilla. Then I take thin slices of smoked salmon, and you don't overlap them. You just put them side by side on about, depends on how big you want the pinwheel. You leave about an inch all the way around the edge of all of these that I'm going to tell you to keep so you don't have any spillage. And when you cut them in little pinwheels, there's a lot of stuff in there. And then after you have the salmon on top of the cream cheese, then you take diced red onions.
Ooh.
And then you take capers. Now, everybody knows what a caper is.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah. Yes.
I think the key to these pinwheel things is you got to put stuff that packs a little wallop in it, okay? Bland is because unless you want to make like a Big Mac out of a pinwheel, which you don't, right? It's going to be spread fairly thin for the roll up. So in order for the roll up to have flavor, it's got to be stuff. And capers is a great example. Red onions, another great example, that those things have big taste. They have big taste.
Yes,
and
they
so
do.
I just wanted to inject that as an amateur chef.
Well, the capers is a perfect balance. Now, this is a deconstructed bagel with cream cheese, lox, and capers and red onions. We're doing this on a pinwheel, so you can pick up one of these pinwheels and pop it in your mouth, and then try and get away from the table before you've eaten a half a dozen of them. That's how good they are.
Yeah.
Now, with your
but it is an art form in terms of not overstuffing it so that stuff's falling out all over the place.
No. Now, when you do this, one of the key is rolling it up. You have to start at one end and flip it over, and you go all the way the whole width of this tortilla shell, and it's got to be very tight. Otherwise, their air will get in there, and your pinwheels will have air pockets. Not bad, very edible, very delicious. But we want it to look nice also. So you have to keep it tight. Okay?
So keep the pinwheel tight, man. Keep the pinwheel tight.
Keep your pinwheel tight.
Everybody write that shit down.
Eat to delight.
There you go.
Okay. Now, the other one, my favorite one, well, one of I love them all. I have to be truthful here. Is I like to take bacon and chop it up and mix that in with my egg salad. And my egg salad has green onions in it for a little bit of color. When you slice it and you look at the pinwheel, you'll see the green onion and you'll see the bits of bacon. And your egg salad, mayonnaise, egg salad, salt and pepper. Okay. Then you spread that on and you roll that up real tight. Now the next one is chicken salad.
We don't need to go. Hey, once you go bacon, that's the drop the mic event. Okay. Once you go bacon, that's all there is to say. Okay. We don't need anything else.
Yeah, okay. And in Mac's instance, he would probably take raw bacon, wrap it around the pinwheel, and then grill it.
Bacon is...
Eat it like an enchilada.
You know what? Bacon's probably one of the best examples of...
Yeah.
I mean, how much bacon do you need in a pinwheel to make it taste awesome? Not a lot.
Probably about you and me. Normal people would do dice up real fine, two strips of bacon. I would say four to six strips.
Yeah, I would just.
You're gonna make probably about four of these pinwheels for each one of these, depending on how many people. You make your big batch that goes into four tortillas, or let's work on a six tortillas per dish. And then you can do those, and then you wrap them in saran wrap and put them in your freezer. Now, you can do these the day before, and then all you have to do is pull them out on 4th of July and slice them like a loaf of bread, baby.
There you go.
And you're in the front row.
Yeah.
Now, with the chicken salad, I like to toast pecans. You just buy a package of pecans, put them in a saute pan over medium heat until they start to smell and get a little fragrant. And then I sprinkle it with a little bit of salt and sugar. And they're candied pecans. And then I let them cool. And then I dice them up real fine. And then you take grapes. Or if you want, you can take the cran raisins. You know, the red cranberries that are dried.
Yeah. Is this a Yule Gibbons event, or what happened right here?
Well, no, I'm just trying to get some pizzazz into these.
All right.
That's all.
All right.
And you don't have to use the grapes. You use the cranberries, the dried cranberries. And if you want to soak them overnight and a little bit of rum, or bourbon, or tequila, it does not matter. Not a lot, just enough to soften them up so they you can dice them up. And you dice the pecans, you dice the cranberries, and you have your chicken salad that has probably, mayonnaise, onions, a little bit of mustard in there. Not a lot with your mayonnaise. You mix maybe a teaspoon in with the mayonnaise for the whole batch, just to give it a little subtle flavor.
Got it.
And you mix that up thoroughly, and then you take your tortillas, and you might want to do, for the smoked salmon, you might want to do a flour tortilla. For the chicken salad, you might want to do a jalapeno one or a tomato one. You know, they have different flavors of these.
Okay.
Or all white. All right. But, then you have the salmon, the egg salad, the chicken salad, and if you're adventuresome, now that's 18 tortillas you have ready to go. And you leave them wrapped up until you slice them up and you put them on a platter. And you can display them. You can go half egg salad, half the smoked salmon. Then the other one you can do half chicken salad and mix and match. And then if you're really adventuresome, you take ham.
And I don't want to be adventurous. We got to get to a couple more things before we're done.
Oh, okay. So let's keep it at those three.
Yeah, I think
keep
with those.
Keep it at those three.
I think we've been adventuresome enough with the pinwheel. Now, I want to. So a lot of people serve beans.
Yes.
Do you have any kind of magical ingredient? A lot of people have their own bean recipes. A lot of people combine. You know, they'll take. You know, like Bush's baked beans, and they'll add different things to it. Do you have an ingredient that you would suggest to people that, hey, as you're concocting your beans, try a little bit of this? Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, I like, quite frankly, I like a little brown sugar in my beans. I like to throw a shot of the best bourbon you can get in my beans. And nobody will ever taste it because it's spread out. You know, one shot is all you need, but it gives it a richness with the brown sugar. And the most important thing, again, is bacon.
Bacon. It always comes back to bacon.
Yes, it does. It all reverts back to the mothership.
It all comes back to the pig, okay? It all comes back to the pig. What about, so if you're, no matter how you concoct your beans, fire a little bacon in there.
Yes, please.
What was the other thing? Yes, now, one of the things I know we talked about last year that I'll bring up again is, 4th of July, there are fireworks, but it is pretty much an eating event. So give me a good summer dessert that first of all, it's got to stand the heat a little bit. So it can't be too delicate. Give me a summer dessert that you would recommend to people.
Oh, most assuredly. You get a pound cake You could buy a Sara Lee pound cake.
Come on.
If you're a veteran, you make, make your own pound cake.
Come on.
Okay?
Sara Lee pound cake. It's to die for.
Okay. Yes.
Everybody loves something, but nobody doesn't love Sara Lee. Okay. Just so you know.
I got it. Well, that's why I'm saying it. I've used it before.
Hello.
And then you make up a big batch of fruit salad. You can if you want to do straight salad or straight strawberries and do a strawberry shortcake kind of thing, but that's it. But I like to have strawberries, blueberries, maybe some bananas. If you do use bananas, folks, when you cut them up, you have to toss them in lemon juice or they will go brown on you and frighten people.
There you go. Don't do bananas. I hate them. I'm anti-banana.
Okay.
I'm anti-banana.
Okay.
I feel like I feel about bananas like I feel about celery and stuffing at Thanksgiving. Just not something
that's
you should
do.
Not something you should do. That's easy, though. A little bit of fruit.
Yeah.
Right? A bowl of fruit.
Yeah.
Pound cake. And you.
Yeah.
And you bring out the industrial Cool Whip, and boom, there you go.
Yeah, that's really it.
I'd be all over
that. That's fantastic to do that. And if you're really adventurous, you can do something like a trifle, which is a layer of pudding and
I think that's too much. I like because the dessert you described is easy.
Yeah.
Right? It's easy. And it's light,
yes.
It's light, and like the pin roll kind of thing, those are big, that fruit taste is delicious, with a little bit of whipped cream and a little bit of sugar on top of the whipped cream.
Yeah.
That stuff is good.
Well, the thing is about a dessert like this, you've been raising serious food for the last 4 hours, and 3 hours, whatever, before you start popping the beer or whatever. The thing that you want to do is have a light dessert. And this strawberry, blueberry, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks pretty.
It keeps to the red, white, and blue theme.
Oh, listen to that.
Yeah, baby.
You got to. No,
it's all about that.
It's the truth. And again, but come on. Anything on Sara Lee pound cake, you know, testify. Forget
about it.
You can't
go wrong.
You cannot go wrong. You cannot go wrong. Things you've never heard come out of anybody's mouth. That sucks, right? When talking about Sara Lee pound cake. No, never been said.
Yeah.
That stuff is good. And so, look, I mean, just think of all that food, right? And then you add, like, queso, guacamole, you know, dips and chips out there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you have the barbecue beef throughout the day, and then you have the big meal, and then and it's none of it's difficult to make, and it all lends
and
itself
it can all be,
done
yeah.
day
I'm
before.
Sorry, Matt.
No. And as right. Kim, as go ahead, make your point. It can all be done the day before,
a day or two ahead, and because our point on all these holiday meals from Mac and I are the cook has to party too. Amen, brothers and sisters. This is the Reverend Sprigg from the Church of the Latter-day Cooks blessing your 4th of July with happiness and high time.
The cook's got a right to party too. And
yes.
And what you heard was is ways that the cook gets to party to, and on top of all of it, it's warmer, and so you got the weather to deal with a little bit, and so it's just being able to make the dishes in advance, put them in the fridge, set stuff aside. Makes for having a wonderful day, and that's really what you know, the nation's birthday ought to be about, is to have great food, a great time with your family, and then absolutely positively be able to party too as the chef.
That's for sure.
So
I mean, it's hot enough as it is outside.
Right.
And you're going to be grilling, and you got to watch your making sure anything that has mayonnaise in it is not in the sun, direct sunlight. So you got to pay attention, and you want to have a good time. So do your food ahead as much as you can. So all it's cut, slicing and dicing, putting it out on the buffet table.
Got it.
There you go.
All right. Is there anything we haven't talked about relative to 4th of July? It's not a hard thing. I like the fish idea though, honestly. Kim and I used to go to tailgating together. And there were guys who did, at the start of the year, they did certain types of fish. Then, you know, as the fishing season went along, they changed, and everything that they cooked from catfish to walleye was absolutely delicious. So, I mean, that's, I like the thought of fish, and fish is a little bit lighter, right? In terms of, cause you have potentially heavy food, right? With beans and
beans, brats, I mean, dogs,
that's a heavy
burgers.
That's a heavy meal. Yeah. So you have some lighter options there. I think it's good. So anything that we haven't covered that we talked about, adding bacon and brown sugar to beans to make them tasty. We talked about brats.
And a shot of bourbon.
And we talked about dessert. All right, man.
That's it.
I think that covers it. What are you going to do? Where are you going to spend the 4th? You going to stay at home and then watch fireworks on the balcony? What are you going to do?
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. We love it. I'm probably, I'll have my, it's the only time of the year I'm allowed to eat hot dogs and brats, and I'll be doing my fair share of that.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Is there anything you're making special this year?
Absolutely nothing. I'm making a Mexican corn salad this year what I'm doing. And in lieu, and plus our potato salad, but in lieu of pasta, salad, mac salad or anything like that, I'm going to do, the dressing has yogurt, lime juice, honey, paprika, and cumin in it.
Ooh.
And the salad is, I'm going to send you a copy of this recipe so you can post. Has corn, garlic, lime juice, salt, black beans, red bell pepper, red onion, chopped cilantro, and I can't pronounce this, cojita cheese that crumbles, that Mexican cheese. You can get it at the grocery store. Cotija. I get you could probably pronounce it better than I. But
Cotija.
Cotija. Okay. Cotija cheese. And you crumble that up. That's what I am going to do special this 4th of July. I love corn in salads, and black beans and corn are two of my favorites. Little onion, little lime juice. Pretty cool.
All right. There you have it, the All Marine Radio Head Chef. All right, Kimmy, well, thank you very much for doing this, and have a great 4th of July, and we will talk to you next week.
Looking very forward to it. The day after 4th of July, we'll be on the waves. And I want to hear what everybody did if they listened to us. I want to hear the pinwheel stories.
Exactly.
And remember, folks, keep the pinwheels tight.
There you go. Keep your pinwheel tight. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. On second thought, you don't have to wait. I'm out of here. Headed for Lake Tahoe today and see my godson get married. So excited to do that. So have a great weekend. Short week next week, 4th of July, right smack in the middle. So get your stuff ready, as the chef said. Get ready to cook. Get ready to have a good time. Most importantly, get ready to enjoy the people you hang out with. So, with all of that said, on a Friday, All Marine Radio is over and out.